With all due respect to the name of this podcast, Entertainment, Politics, and Life, we try hard to make this fun for 20 minutes, even though the world is full of strife. One thing to know before we start the show, we offer strong opinions and strong thoughts. If you listen still, please take a pill and chill. We don't want to get sued once again.
In our entertainment segment, Verdi's La Traviata is coming to Anchorage in April. The perfect opera for those who know nothing about opera. Entra nel mondo glamour della Parigi del XIX secolo. Incontra Violetta. Sta vivendo la sua vita migliore quando si innamora di un giovane nobile di campagna e la sua vita prende una serie di svolte strazianti. Ladies and gentlemen, if you did not understand what I just said, don't worry. The opera has subtitles. La Traviata explores themes of love, sacrifice, and the clash between personal desires and societal expectations. After watching La Traviata, you'll come to the conclusion that every problem in life can be solved by singing loudly and dramatically. La Traviata plays at the Anchorage Performing Arts Center from April 26th to April 28th. Get your ticket online at centerteeks.com and enjoy the opera.
The annual winter migration of lawmakers to Juneau is complete as part of nature's extraordinary design. In the heart of the capital city, we see life in all its diversity. For the next 90 days, Andrew and Ethan will offer a rare glimpse into the lives of these creatures in a segment we call Politics.
In the wake of last week's ruling by an Anchorage Superior Court judge that public money spent to reimburse parents for their children's education-related expenses was unconstitutional, we're really left to look at really three different types of fallout. First, the constitutional fallout. Second, educational fallout. And third, of course, politics. Joining me now, former mayor of Anchorage, Ethan Berkowitz, my friend and co-pilot on this venture. Ethan, your thoughts on the judge's decision?
I think Judge Zeman hit it right square of the head. You know, when you uphold the Constitution, you're upholding the rule of the land and you're reaffirming some very basic Alaskan values. And the very basic Alaskan value that's at play here is do not use public money for private benefit. And that's exactly what was going on with the correspondence school funding.
Now, Alaska's Constitution is written very clearly. And one of the things, you were in the studio earlier when Scott Kendall was here and we were talking about the lawsuit. You know, the one thing that strikes me is you have a complete disruption now in this system because of a piece of legislation that, when passed, the sponsor predicted that it would be unconstitutional. So 10 years later, the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah, we shouldn't use cliches like chickens coming home to roost. I'm told that's not good in the format here, but we'll stick with the chickens coming home to roost. When you break the rules, don't be surprised when they end the game. And that's what happened. They knew the rule. They were playing on the edge of the rules here. They knew they were over the line here, and now they broke the game for everybody. There are some very legitimate people that use correspondence schools for the correct purposes. They play by the rules. They should be protected in all this. But because you had some bad actors out there who I believe maliciously manipulated the system in order to benefit personally or to benefit their political supporters, then the proper response of the law is, all right, we're putting a halt to this program in its entirety. And the responsibility for breaking the system lies with those who broke it. You walk into a shop, you start handling merchandise, you break it, you bought it. Those guys bought responsibility for it. Because, you know, the stories I've heard about people using correspondence school funds to buy greenhouses or air fryers and trips to here and there, and then sort of chortling about it on Facebook somewhere. Those aren't folks who had any sense of chagrin about what they were doing. They were loud and proud about taking public money for their own personal benefit.
Well, and there really are, you're absolutely right, there really are two things. There's the waste, as you said, right, taking public funds and buying an air fryer. And there's the unconstitutional, where you're actually paying for private schools, private or religious schools or materials, right? Now, one of the things that bothers about me is now we're coming to find out that over the last 10 years could have been anywhere from $50 to $90 million per year siphoned off unconstitutional through these programs. And here we are debating whether or not to give education, which is starving today, a $170 million increase. So you could just eliminate the waste. You could add some of that back into the BSA. Not my point. My point is this. Alaska's constitution, very clear, very clear. You cannot take public money and spend it on private education or religious education. It's very crystal clear, my man.
Look, I describe this as these folks who aren't supporting public education over the last couple of years, over the last couple of months, have tried to apply a double tap to education funding. The first tap is not funding it adequately, holding it below inflation. By the way, significantly less and significantly more hostile treatment towards education than their own salaries. So that's the first tap. The second tap is they were taking money from the bottom of the till. They were reaching in and they were funneling publicly appropriated money that was intended for public education and shunting it off to their friends. I mean, Scott, I believe, talked about the example of what was the Anchorage Baptist Temple, which has renamed itself in order to camouflage its activities, but has renamed itself, and they were having students apply directly for this funds, and those funds were going for the purposes of tuition. And if you believe in the separation of church and state, this should gall you. But you know, as Julian Baum, the great civil rights leader, said, in a contest between the shameless and the shameless always win. And there's a degree of shamelessness to the folks that have their hand in the till.
Now, you go back, and this statute was passed in 2014, and it really didn't start getting abused until 2018, when Governor Mike Dunleavy was elected. As soon as he got elected in 2018, you saw this program and the cost and the expense related to it go through the roof. You in fact, saw it become a kind of a public point of pride, the fact that you were getting public money and using it for private education expenses. As a matter of fact, the Attorney General's wife, Jody Taylor, wrote an op-ed saying, hey, my people in private and home schools, guess what? Here's some cash money that's just yours for the taking. So, you know, between Dunleavy, the Attorney General's office, they have allowed this activity to go on. And I believe this is, again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, Ethan. This was part of Governor Dunleavy's grand plan, right? It starts with the vertical integration of power. First, you control who gets charter schools. Second, you control who controls the money who goes to charter schools. Third, you have everything you need. You have all of the tools at your convenience. And that's what Dunleavy wanted. And I think this court case really throws a wrench into his desire for this ultimate control of charter schools and then being able to funnel more money to them, which would allow them to go out to fund private schools in religious education. I think that's the key thing, is I think this lawsuit totally upends his attempt to abscond with a very, very successful charter school program in this state.
I mean, I would put it this way. They have overreached to the point where they have made themselves vulnerable. And the vulnerability is this, and I say this as a former legislator. You always introduce me as a former mayor, but as also a former legislator. And in some ways, that was more formative on my political thinking. But because Dunleavy and his constituents need charter schools, need these correspondence schools, and they're in jeopardy at this point, what he has done is manufacture a situation where legislators who want to have an increase to the base student allocation could put together some kind of legislative package that says, we'll give you the fix to your charter schools and your correspondent schools if you give us the base student allocation increase. And then what you do is you tie the funding, which is subject to a veto in a budget, to an effective date. And that way you, in essence, the legislature will have tied the hands of the governor and ensured that all Alaska students have access to the quality of education that we need as a state. Not just the students deserve, but what this state needs in order for us to be a competitive, thriving environment.
Well, and here's what I find is going to be the most interesting scenario right here. Okay, so Governor Mike Dunleavy himself, when he was a senator 10 years ago, basically broke the statute. Now you have a judge's decision, which is going to impact 20,000, a little over 20,000 students, right? Some, as you said, have been using this program very responsibly in a way it was designed to in law. So the governor broke the statute. And so now the court has ruled that the statute the governor broke was unconstitutional, which he himself predicted 10 years ago. Now you got 20,000 kids out there in limbo, okay? First off, then let's circle back to public opinion. Currently, you've got 77%, even according to the governor's own poll, 77% want a BSA increase, okay? Governor Dunleavy does not want to raise the BSA. Basically, he does not want to.
Have we said that BSA is base student allocation yet?
Basically, student
allocation.
Yeah.
Because you know, we need to like say what they are.
So 77% want to increase public school funding, right? Now, Dunleavy's base, they know so like public schools, but they love themselves some homeschools. But this court ruling throws their existence into question. So the question is, does Dunleavy come to the table and give up the BSA increase in order to satisfy his homeschool base? I mean, you know, he's put himself in a hell of a corner right now, and especially the timing of this decision. And I've heard some lawmakers go, ooh, it couldn't come at the best time. No way, man. I think this comes at the best possible time because this creates kind of a demarcation point, right? You can stop here and we can get on with the business of the state, or you can proceed at your own risk, which you will lose, and meaning going to the Alaska State Supreme Court.
There is leverage now. You have, again, to go back to our analogies here. You have the end, the game ends at the end of the legislative session. I mean, they can go into special session, but that gets to be very problematic. And so using that out of bounds line creates a lot of leverage for legislators who are willing to champion this issue. And championing it means being smart, being tough, and having a clear sense of where you want to go and how to get there. And I just hope that there's a critical mass of those kind of legislators in Juneau today.
Well, a couple of things before we go. Number one, the judge in his decision recognized that some families, some users of this program may be doing it constitutionally, but that was not his role. His role said the law was written so broadly, I've got to strike down the entire thing, right? Because you can't just legislate from the bench. You can't just create new law, right? So the judge says, I got to throw it out. This is a legislature's job, basically. Okay. So you have that. The second thing is, you also have a situation where you've got kind of this end of session winding down. Now, you and I, as two former state legislators, we, and I'm going to speak for you here because I think I'm safe to speak for you here, we both appreciate Alaska's Constitution because it is clearly one of the best in the country. Our right to privacy is guaranteed under the Constitution. The right not to have public dollars go to private religious schools is clearly defined in the Constitution. I mean, we have a Constitution that was clearly written by some very smart people and clearly written to the point where there is no wiggle room, right? So what I want to ask you is, does decisions like this, once again, make you thankful for the way the founders wrote the Alaska State Constitution?
We had some founders who were farsighted and did a lot of work. I will also say the other thing we should be grateful for is that last November, the Alaskan voters said, no, we are not going to open up this Constitution to revisitation. Because as you can see here now, there are a whole series of nefarious purposes that could be served by changing the Constitution. It would open the door to more grifting, more kleptocratic behavior, more ways of disenfranchising particular minorities and advantaging others. So we should be very grateful for the great work that the founders did. And we should be also thankful that the Alaskan voters last November said, no, we're not going to open the door to these bad actors to change it.
And we'll leave it there. Ethan, as always, good to see you, my friend.
Oh, hello once again. I truly hope you enjoyed this splendid episode. But before you go, let me ask you one important question. How many podcast hosts does it take to change a light bulb? Well, only one, but they'll spend the next hour discussing their personal experiences with different light bulbs. Make sure you subscribe with all due respect on Apple, Spotify, or any other streaming platform so you don't miss a word we have to say about light bulbs. Cheerio and mind your way. Thank you.